Robert's funeral, Psalm 103. Of course, it begins with those familiar words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, let all that is within me bless His holy name." And then you'll pick it up in the middle section of the psalm, verses 6 through 18. "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, to those who remember His commandments to do them." Here is the reading of God's Word for us this morning. Let us pray. Our Father, we do pray that You would open our hearts and minds to believe and to be comforted and challenged by these precious words, which we know are perfect and pure, coming from Your almighty mouth. We pray that You would help us to understand them. Direct us in Your ways, we pray, for Jesus' glory. Amen. Family and friends and congregation members, whenever a father passes away, we remember fondly the kindness and mercies of that father to us as we were growing up and even in his older years. And it's always appropriate to look even beyond our own fathers to the Heavenly Father and His perfect love for each one of His children. And that's what we look to today from Psalm 103. We learn about that perfect love of the Heavenly Father for all of His people. The Lord loves His children perfectly. We can see how perfect His love is as we follow these verses that we read and see that God's love is described as merciful love. God's love is also tender. And God's love is enduring. His love is merciful and tender and enduring. And all that adds up to a perfect love. Our Heavenly Father's love is merciful. The original readers and singers of this psalm in worship in Israel would have remembered many examples of God's mercy and compassion. For it was Israel who was brought out of hundreds of years of slavery in Egypt, brought through dry ground in the midst of the raging waters of the Red Sea. And yet in the wilderness they said, "Let's go back to the land of slavery. We don't want to be out here in the wilderness with our God." And yet God was merciful and compassionate upon them and rained down sweet manna from heaven and gave them meat to eat in the quail. And again, verse 7 starts to really drag out the family picture album for the Israelites. It reminds them, go look through those memories and remember all the actions of God for His people throughout all time, how He cared for you through this battle and that battle, through this journey through the wilderness with no food, and yet your shoes lasted for 40 years without wearing out. And they were reminded of God's mercy. For this movie, this family picture album described, highlights that mercy of God. In verse 8, we read, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." See, there are no limits to God's love. It is abounding and overflowing. This word that we have in our verse, mercy, is very important. term used in the Bible. It refers to God's faithfulness, His loyalty, His steadfast love, which never changes. That He will always keep His promises to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all who have the same faith as Abraham in the one true God. This mercy is the strongest word that King David could have used when he wrote this psalm to stress the grace of God, the gift of God, mercy for those who don't deserve it. For that's what mercy is. Not give us the things that we deserve. To not give us the judgment that we deserve for our rebellion. Because of this kind of mercy and love of God, He does not abandon His people. Even when they are rebellious. Even when they are rebellious. You remember Moses got the Ten Commandments and he came down from the mountain and Israel was already breaking each and every one of them. Just while Moses was up there receiving them from God. And Moses, in a righteous anger, threw down those commandments and broke those tablets to show to the people, you have broken God's law. And God could have given up on His people, but instead He gave Moses a second copy of the law and reminded them of His grace that He would bring sin to the one who would come one day to keep that law in their place. You see, God loves us too much to let us go. No matter how high the mountain of our sins and rebellion, the floodwaters of His mercy rise higher and higher. He is so loving to His people. God does not hold a grudge against us, though He certainly would have every reason to. But He is perfectly loving and merciful. And we shouldn't misunderstand. The verse tells us that God has not dealt with His people according to their sins. He does deal with the unbeliever according to their sins. The Bible tells us they will suffer an eternity in hell for their wickedness. That is just and righteous. This psalm is a praise song of the church, and it doesn't apply to those who are not members of Christ's body and not worshiping Him. But this psalm is a call to everybody everywhere to repent of their sins, whatever their problems are, and come to Him, remembering this is the kind of God who exists. This is the kind of God who created me. A God who is merciful. No matter what. And He has mercy for us if we come to Him. He is a compassionate God. And indeed, in light of how rebellious everyone is, whether they're inside God's church or outside His church, it is amazing that any of us should continue to exist, for God could extinguish our life in a moment because of our rebellion. But He abounds in loving kindness, and He will not refuse any sinner who comes to Him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. For the sinner who has been saved knows that he's always in the hands of a God whose heart is full of love, a perfect love that is merciful upon His children. God's perfect love is not only merciful, it is also tender. His love is tender. The heart of God is really opened up for us in verses 11 through 13 of this psalm, and probably the most familiar verses of this psalm, where these comparisons are given of the height and width and depth of God's compassion. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great His mercy is. If you've ever been in a big city, you see those gigantic, tall buildings. What do we call them? Skyscrapers. They say that they scrape the sky. They're so tall. Yet God's love and mercy is even higher than those. Higher than the furthest reaches of the atmosphere. God's love. God's compassion is also as wide as possible. As far as the east is from the west, we can't get any further apart than that. And that's how far we are from our sins. For those who repent and trust and believe in Jesus, He takes our sins, which have had a stranglehold on our neck, and we've been enslaved to them and are going to send us to hell, and He's taken those sins and snatched them away from us and cast them as far as possible from the east, all the way to the west. He's removed them from His people. They cannot harm us. Will not be judged for them. God has taken care of that. And God's compassion is so deep that it's as deep as the love of a godly father for his children. For in verse 12 and 13 it says, as a father pities his children, in the same way the Lord pities those who fear him. Now this word pity could also be translated compassion. As a father has compassion, so the Lord has compassion upon his children. It is God's tender mercy. This is the focus of the whole psalm. Not because human fathers and God the Father are exactly the same, but there's an illustration that God is using here. A human father will have compassion upon his child, even when the child doesn't deserve it. Suppose a son stayed out late with his friends and he wasn't supposed to, and he comes in and he's bleeding all over the place because he fell off his bike. Well, should the father say, I'm not going to help you, I'm not going to clean you up and put a band-aid on your wounds because, after all, you shouldn't have been out? No, the father will have compassion upon his child even still. So too, our Heavenly Father has compassion upon us, not because we deserve it, not even because we say we're sorry and we'll do a better job next time, but the Heavenly Father has compassion upon us because of who He's made us to be, members of His family. We're His children, and that can never change. And God has compassion on every one of His people. God has a perfect love. God has a love that is described in that parable of the prodigal son. That prodigal son who didn't deserve God's compassion, who squandered his father's blessings with a worthless and empty and foolish lifestyle, so similar to what we see around us in the world today. And how did the father treat that son? We read that he was looking out the window every day waiting for his son to come back. So that the day that his son did come back, his father saw him at the end of the lane and didn't wait for that son to come all the way up and grovel at his feet. But the father swung open the door and ran down the driveway to embrace his rebellious child. The scripture says, what manner of love is this? That we should be called the children of this God. But we are by His grace, His tenderness. His tenderness. The tenderness of God is described in verse 14 in a special way because God knows what we're made of. Not only does He know that we're His children, but He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That we are fragile. That our life on earth is short. It's as brief as wild grass and flowers which bloom for only a single day in some parts of Israel. And then the hot winds blow across the desert and they wither up and die. And our life is that brief in the vast expanse of eternity. And yet, being so brief, our life is so meaningful for this reason. Because God has made us, and He loves His children, and He has compassion upon us. You see, even though our days are like a passing shadow, God does not pass away. But His love is enduring, and that's the last thing we see in our text. That God's love, His perfect love, is merciful and tender and also enduring. Verse 17 says, God is not at all like man who comes and goes in a moment, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. We can find comfort today that God is eternal, because that means His compassion for us is also eternal. I don't know about you, but my sins require an eternal God who will love me forever, because my sins are so great that they require an eternal punishment. But that eternal God has paid for that in my place and will allow me in His blessing and His grace to live with Him for eternity. God's love is from everlasting, because after all, the Lord knew our names even before He created the world. He chose His children. Out of all the people who would ever live, God knew which ones would belong to Him and would love Him. And He chose us in His grace and His mercy. And even when we die, God's love doesn't stop there. No. His love continues. And in His loving grace, we continue. Though unnaturally, only in our souls for a time, until the resurrection, when our bodies and souls are reunited. We are forever with the Lord. It is comforting for us to know that God loves us, He is eternal, and He will be here long after we are gone. He will be here for our children and our grandchildren. He will be here to continue to give His message to them, to call them to love Him, and to know and experience His love. Children of believers, and virtually every one of us, no matter what our age today, are probably children of believers. Our parents are believers, most of us, not all of us. But we are told as well not to simply take God's promises for granted. Be thankful that our fathers and mothers had faith in God. It doesn't matter whether we were baptized or confirmed or professed faith or whatever you call it in your church circles. We also are called to respond and keep God's covenant. Otherwise, we would be stomping through the garden of God's tender mercies. For God's love, as verse 18 says, is to such as keep His covenant, to those who remember His commandments, to do them. Even future members of the church, our children and grandchildren, they must remember. This whole psalm is about remembering. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. But remember. Remember the Father's compassion and worship Him for it. And if you are one who is remembering Him today, then you know that God's already been at work in your heart. He's already loving you. That's why you're remembering Him. The greatest legacy a father or anyone can leave to their children is the example of the Heavenly Father's perfect love, a merciful and tender and compassionate love. Every Christian has received that greatest example in the love of God, who sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus, for our sins. We have been adopted into the family of Christ. And now we have received that love that is merciful. God knows our sins, and yet He's still merciful. We have received a love that is tender, knowing that we are frail and weak and worry and are afraid and are discouraged. And He is tender. And His love is enduring. Because the God who loved our parents and our grandparents and so on is the same God. He is still here today. And He's still explaining His precious love to us. In the same words that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents heard so long ago from the Word of God. And He says, come to me. Believe in me. And you'll know my love. Robert said to his family the last day that he was on earth, I'm going to be with the Lord. Nobody knew at that point that that was going to be happening. But he could say that because he knew that his Father in heaven loved him, had provided forgiveness for his sins, and His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. We are called today to the same faith.
to believe in that Father in heaven through the only way, truth, and life, the Lord Jesus, and know that we are also forgiven and ones who have received this enduring, perfect love of God. Amen. Let us pray.